Welcome to the Wisdom Circle. To subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast platforms, please visit us at www.thewisdomcircle.com.
Joe, what are you seeing? Well, I think I described your background well. Do you want to elaborate on any of that? That you know, just so that our listeners and viewers understand who the real Joe Favorito is.
Good luck with that. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, I've been on my own now almost 17 years, not by choice. We were running a mixed martial arts league. We ran out of money. We sold the assets to the UFC, and I kind of got thrown into this. And, you know, now at this kind of late stage, it's, a lot of it is what I do is inbound, but it's fun projects. And I work with good, great people. I love teaching. I actually am doing a Monday night undergraduate class at Fordham this semester. So you learn a lot. And the more I learn, like this is a Monday when I go into class today, we're going to talk about what they were interested in, not what I'm interested in or people my age. And I'm really interested in hearing, you know, their take on Kendrick Lamar and what that means. I will tell you that there was an article in the, again, I think it was in the Times or the Athletic on Friday about country music. And lo and behold, who shows up on radio or Media Row on Friday but Kenny Chesney? And I would imagine that's where it's going to go next. Now, you know, and people say, oh, Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is overproduced and we should get rid of him. Well, his wife has done some pretty interesting stuff in country music lately. So, and Kenny Chesney, I don't think had any place and it was just kind of strange that he suddenly showed up. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting as to why.
That's interesting.
Right.
But I think, yeah, I mean, my background, it's really helping people craft, engage, and kind of grow their storytelling, whether that is from fundraising, whether it's from advisory work, whether it's from just, you know, general awareness and relationships, social media, all different kinds of things. I mean, I was, you know, I worked with a bunch of clients when I was there the last 3 or 4 days, one of which, as I mentioned, was Telmundo. And yeah, it was great to go around and basically you see so many people, you know, you see once a year. And that's kind of what that is. It's kind of like the Ellis Island for sports because you walk into that room on Wednesday, Friday, and you see people you haven't seen or new people and you wonder kind of what they're doing there. And if you do it right, it's a great way to kind of spend 3 hours to expand your brand and expand your relationships, which those things, because of streaming now and spoken word, live on for weeks. You can't get all the content. I think Front Office Sports said they did 137 interviews in 5 days, which most of which haven't aired yet. They aired the relevant stuff, but you know, that will be parceled out. So the life that you have on Radio Row or Media Row continues to expand on. And I had talked to the NFL probably in Houston about, you know, why don't you have more colleges there? Because there were some entrepreneurial colleges that always showed up. Fordham is one. Syracuse is another. Ithaca is always there. This year there were 12. And when I look back and I see people that kids that I young people that I knew who were student on student radio stations in Ithaca who are now working for ESPN Radio, that shows you the lifespan of why those people are important. And I think the NFL gets that now. And it was less than half traditional radio stations, and more were kind of podcasts, social influence. People there collecting content for their own way to do it. And that's just the way of the world now. You know, it's like people say, who's this guy Kendrick Lamar and why was this important? Because if it's socially relevant, the NFL has figured out ways to be involved in socially relevant things. Good, bad, or indifferent. But I don't think the NFL is going away anytime soon. And they're by far the monster. And, you know, and when eventually they move this game to President's Weekend, which will happen, they're going to bump the NFL. They're going to bump the NBA off their prime spot.
And that's true.
We'll see where
it's going. Joe. This wouldn't be your first Monday after a Super Bowl with a Columbia relationship in a class or students. I mean, the NFL has been kind of going down the road we've talked about of overproduced and the halftime show guests and things like that. What have the students been saying over the last year or two? That's question number one. Question number two is, you know, just again for our listeners and viewers, what are the three most important things you look at when you want to promote and get the word out and build a brand and do all those things? So first, what are we missing? Because Tony and I are not, Tony, I don't think you were in the classroom a year ago, right? So
no.
It changes that. So tell us a little bit about those.
So I think there's a couple things. One is the social relevance and how all those pieces are important. And you know, yeah, people booed Taylor Swift. I don't think it bothered her at all, because as long as she's relevant, that's all that matters. The international side is incredibly important. And Tony, I don't know if you ever had Marcus Kuhn when you were in Columbia, but Marcus played, was the first NFL player from Germany, played for the Giants, and has now become really the NFL's entrepreneurial voice in Germany and in other countries, especially tied to flag football. And you saw the pregame push that they made to say, we have an announcement coming with flag football. They did not officially announce the league, but it is coming. There is no doubt that there will be an NCAA sanctioned women's league for flag football sometime in the next 2 years. There are schools that already have it. It will be sanctioned in all 50 states as a varsity sport for high school. It will lead into the Olympics, and that's, and internationally, that's where this is going. Marcus told me that there are more people starting flag football in Germany than are playing, than are starting out, young people starting out playing traditional soccer football.
Wow.
So it's a big deal, and that's where they're going to invest a lot of the money and the time. So, you know, but that's kind of what it is. It's, or, you know, what are they watching and what are they engaging with? And the commercials that we look at and say, oh, why is that important? You know, they look at it and say, oh, I know who those people are. They're the people who are important to me. And learning quickly who those people are, because they're going to be the next big faces. I mean, I saw that Mr. Beast is doing a CBS interview, I think a CBS or a morning show interview, this time for the first time ever, really, because he doesn't put himself out, but yet one of the largest followings and you know, drives businesses all over the place. I think that's the most important thing, is figuring out where we're going, especially on an international level. You know, there is a, you know, people kind of worry about the Saudi and the Qatari influence, but that is going to continue to grow. There's a big conference in Miami next week, that some colleagues of mine have invited me to, and there's a women's sports panel there. So I'm really interested in kind of where this is going and what people are saying, because that's how we stay relevant, as Snoop Dogg says. You know, there's nobody who's reinvented himself more times than that guy. And here he was talking about hate yesterday in a commercial. And by the way, that's the last thing I'll say about the commercials, is you saw more commercials about various issues of social justice or health and wellness than you ever did. And the one ad that I thought was really interesting, because I knew a little bit of the backstory, was the Google ad that ran not just nationally, but they took 90 seconds and 30 seconds, and each state had a different ad. So what I saw in New York was different from what people saw in Pennsylvania, different in South Carolina. And the only reason I knew it was because the guys who had built a great business around cornhole were the highlighted business in South Carolina. And they were telling us about it. So, and that, by the way, Ray, leads into streaming. So why is streaming important? And why could streaming potentially get the Super Bowl? It's because if I'm watching it upstairs, they're streaming commercial on Amazon, they're streaming it to me, and I'm watching different commercials for my wife who's sitting downstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is absolutely where this is going to go. I don't know if it will go that way in the Super Bowl. I would bet it goes to Netflix overseas before it goes to streaming here, because there's still a lot of people who can't afford or don't have streaming services. And you don't want to alienate those people when still, you know, what is it, more than half the United States didn't watch the game yesterday.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We're in a bubble of sorts as people who've been in the sports and media entertainment industry. So we have to look outside the bubble. That's why I always think, I mean, I do some work with my alma mater, but you guys who've done work in schools, you do see the more relevant current picture, which is important. That's what Tony and I try to do on the Wisdom Circle, stay relevant and talk to people with different points of view and experiences.
And is it overproduced? Yeah, I guess it's always overproduced, but that's what America loves, is overproducing these stupid things.
You know,
they actually, you know, it's funny. You talk about the shot down Bourbon Street. That was a real shot. They actually took over all of Bourbon Street, built out those sets, and that's what they dropped in. Now, did you really need it? No. I mean, but, you know, do I need 11 guys telling you the same thing that the Eagles won and the Chiefs lost? No. You know, I mean, Gronk was like trying to fall over everybody to try to say something, and he actually has relevant points because he played in the game. You know, to talk about, you know, what he saw, which is different, but, you know, how much of that was really important? I would have been more interested in hearing Howie Roseman, who's, you know, built an amazing business as the GM of the Eagles, speak than, you know, 15 other people that they have on there.
It's funny because I was thinking that the Bourbon Street strategy might also have been security. You know,
security,
lock the whole thing down. Yeah. You don't have to worry about crazy people walking around.
So Thursday night, we walked down. It was the only time I actually went towards Bourbon Street. And I had actually seen an article on Sunday saying that Pat O'Brien's was empty. And it was empty because they had really, really kind of constricted not just the way you could get in and out, but where you could walk. I mean, you could only walk down one side of Bourbon Street. They were checking everybody's bags.
Oh, wow.
And frankly, the beauty of New Orleans is there's a lot of other things you can do other than going to Bourbon Street and have great meals and go other places. And I saw that even from Tuesday with people taking over restaurants like Manning's and doing private events versus, you know, just trying to be. I think everybody walked Bourbon Street once and that was enough. And
that,
for me,
you know, once a lifetime was enough for me.
Yeah. So, Joe, going back with the brands, do you see wrapping yourself around, you know, I was watching when we had a party, we went to a friend's house, a lot of women were watching what looked like a bra breast commercial, but it was really, they got everyone's attention, including the women, which is like, what's going on here? Because you had women touching their breasts and bras and stuff, but it was almost like the end of it was, okay, now that we've got your attention, it was about breast cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think the socially relevant issues in the world we are in today are going to continue to figure out how you insert yourself into those conversations, especially if you want to reach two key audiences, the two fastest growing, which are 50 and older, which everybody ignores and they should not ignore. And that's why you see, you know, so many ads for pharmaceuticals. And then, you know, how do you actually get that audience 30 and younger? And they're not watching the same things. They don't know from Harrison Ford, you know. You know, I think a lot of brands make a mistake by throwing, like, I didn't realize that was it Catherine O'Hara who was in the ad with Willem Dafoe?
Mm-hmm. Big ultra spot.
It took me, like, I had asked my son, and then I remember Beetlejuice, and then he got it right away. You know, so it's, people think, you know, oh, everybody knows these names when there's a certain name at a certain age. They don't know. I'm going to ask tonight, like, how many people, I'm going to put up four pictures and see anybody who knows these.
There you go.
So
yeah. Well, they had the stars of Schitt's Creek on. They had Eugene Levy, his son, David. Well, David was his name in the show. I don't know what his first name is in real life. It's David. And then Catherine O'Hara. So
yeah.
Schitt's Creek lives on in commercial time.
Yeah. I think that's the challenge is, you know, what are all those bells and whistles that you build off of that are not just, I'm going to watch a spot, you know. There are still very few brands that put up anything social or any kind of cute. There were QR codes for a couple of years. And now people don't do it anymore. I don't know whether it's a distraction or technology doesn't still get you there.
But, not yet.
You know, are you driving to social conversations? And that's really where people probably are going to win a little bit more. But again, how you quantify that a year from now, you know, we'll see. You know, there weren't any FTX ads, obviously, this year. So.
Joe, you've been in the classroom, for 20 years, probably at least, working with students. So you've now had, we get millennials, now Gen Zs. And
Gen Alpha is next.
So what have you, my guess is, as you put together your classes, how you did it 20 years ago is a lot different than you're doing it today. Or do the principles stay the same? That's Ray and I, we don't argue about it, but it was like, okay, the principle's the same. It's just how you present it or articulate it.
Or the examples. The examples are the biggest thing. Like, I cannot reference, for years I referenced the movie Hoosiers. Now none of them have seen Hoosiers. They have no idea.
Interesting.
But I think, you know, from a storytelling perspective, storytelling hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The difference is the medium and the audience, the size of the audience and the impact you can have right away. And I'm always intrigued when I ask them, we did a class on news gathering, like, where do you get your news? And, you know, I put up a picture of, there was a survey that the Republican National Committee put out right before the election about, you know, what are your choices for news? And yes, they had some of the conservative ones on there, but they had TikTok as a news source. Now, TikTok is a medium. It's not really, you know, something that's breaking news. But when you ask young people, and I'll say young people, people under 30, where they get their news, Instagram stories and TikTok are two of the places where they go. That's their trusted source of news.
Yeah.
Because they're not, they know that those people on there, they follow, they can get other stuff, but they're waiting to make decisions. They're not going to CNN or the New York Times or even ESPN to get information.
Well, I think they have more trust in the curator at TikTok.
They have more trust in
Instagram.
The fact that they can curate and then kind of scroll down and see who else is talking about this, and that will make them feel better. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, that's not going to change, and there's going to be something else that's going to come along that's going to usurp all of this in the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, and you factor in artificial intelligence and off we go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
You know, I almost texted you. That's a little side story, a little anecdote, but I was watching, pardon the interruption, and it was last week when there was a little talk about maybe it should be the Brady Super Bowl trophy, not the Lombardi. And Tony Kornheiser said, well, here's my take. There's been a play on Broadway about Lombardi. When there's a play about Brady on Broadway, don't talk to
me. Well, maybe that's another one. And actually, that drama could probably play out even more because it's got female protagonists and everything else that you tried to, you know, you guys did so well pulling into Lombardi. But there is, I mean, you know, people just throw stuff out there to try and get stuff, you know. I mean, Vince Lombardi to this day, you know, you kind of say Vince Lombardi to somebody at probably any age, and at least they have an acknowledgement of who Vince Lombardi is. You know, I think people know Tom Brady, but they may know him as Giselle's husband, former husband, or whoever else to know him, you know. And, you know, I'm really intrigued to see where this is all going to go. I do think that they'll finally figure out how to put a Super Bowl in London or move Pro Bowl week to London at some point. You know, and we're in a global environment, and you know that, you know, the Middle Eastern countries with a lot of money are really interested in what's going on at the NFL and figuring out how we're going to get a game there, an exhibition game, you know, which will support the troops or whatever, however they want to do it. But it's, you know, the political social world of appointment viewing, the only appointment viewing is sports.
That's well, Tony and I talked about this, how, you know, NFL, NBA, MLB are all interested in going from the U.S. to the rest of the world, and FIFA is interested in getting from the rest of the world into the U.S. And boy, if those guys just talk to each other,
yeah,
they would, an awful lot. You know, 1 + 1 would equal, in my opinion, 3.
So it's funny. So Gianni Infantino was obviously there.
Of course.
He was part of a commercial. And Thursday, all of a sudden, the FIFA Club World Cup trophy showed up on Media Row. I don't know why. There was nobody there with it. It just showed up. People were taking pictures of it. And I know, going back to Telemundo, that they had access to all 3 trophies on Saturday for a special event, the World Cup trophy, the FIFA World Club trophy, and the Lombardi trophy. So, yeah, football, as you know, Ray, that was the great sell, and it's going to continue to be the great sell for, you know, for the place you used to work and help build.
Absolutely.
So, you know, still the largest growing population in this country, you know, Spanish language first.
Sing it out of my hymn book. So when I did the first deal with the NFL to put the Super Bowl on Telemundo, it did so well that in the next broadcast contract, because I knew a guy who worked on it, they made all the – so Fox Deportes, ESPN Deportes, they all have to have a broadcast network partner now. So Fox Deportes aired that game alongside Telemundo because they understand the reach of Telemundo. Univision aired one last year, I think, which broke my heart. But, hey – it's nice to be not.
Yeah, that former employees will be front and center next year. So because they've got it all, including the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. So it'll be a big year.
Joe, we'll sort of end with this one because we're coming up to our time, and I know your time is important as well. So we like to use this from time to time, but so you're coming out of Fordham. I can't remember what year. Let's call it 40-ish years ago. And so what does 40 years later, well-seasoned, very successful Joe Favorito, want to tell that 22-year-old coming out of Fordham today?
Don't be a self-absorbed jerk. It's funny. So I do something in my class at Columbia. It's a visual tool because even though people say everything's done on their phones, I give everybody a sponge at the beginning of class. And I want them to go and come back every week and tell me what they absorbed. And it can be anything in pop culture, in their family, because I think leaning in is really important and not being shy and asking for help. And I think young people actually kind of get that now a little bit more. But I think being able to, you know, kind of get over your own issues and you know, Ezra Kruchar is a good friend of mine, was at DraftKings and a lot of different places. We worked at the USDA. His biggest thing always was, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's an uncomfortable world. And, you know, people will help you if you kind of lean in, and if you're not a jerk, you know. I've written about this, and there's a class that we do on the unwritten resume and how important that is. It's what people say about you when you're not in the room, and but they see how you treat other people. So treat people the same. I mean, that's the most important thing. You know, people will give you a chance. So,
well, they say people will forget what you said, but they won't forget how you made them feel.
Right. That's a David Stern line. You can't what I said,
but no,
how did I make them feel? That's really important. So David Stern, by the way, who some people may not know, was the commissioner of the NBA for quite a while.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. So
cool.
Joe, we can't thank you enough. I know you're a busy man. Appreciate you, joining the podcast. I know we'll stay in touch, but, appreciate it as always.
Yeah. Hopefully next year. Well, I don't think so. We already kind of planned out good night and good luck for next year, because I don't think the Jets will make the playoffs. But maybe someday it'll be less than a car payment to figure out kind of when the Jets make the Super Bowl, what that will be like.
Crazy money. Yeah. Good luck. And thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, as always.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
Thank you.